You please open them up to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. And also get your finger into Hebrews, chapter 13. We'll also be in Psalm, but I can't remember the verse off the top of my head, so we'll see it up here, all right? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, please. Father God, we, as your church, we come and we bow before you. And Father, we call upon your name, Father, that you, Father, would be about this service. You'll be about this message. Father, I pray that the words that have been prepared have been inspired by you and not of self, but Father, that you would be glorified. Father, I pray, Father, that you would be glorified today at my expense, actually. I ask you to forgive me my sin, that I would stand here before you and these people. Father, that I would be able to be a servant of yours today. Father, I pray, Father, that you would be upon all of those here today who need your touch. I pray that your Holy Spirit will begin to work to fulfill the spiritual needs of all the people in this place, especially those unto salvation, that you will begin to move. You are a great and glorious God, and we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I explained to you last week, we are going to embark on a new series that will center on the book of Joshua. And what I think that we will learn is that we can trust God in the midst of change. You know, oftentimes that's when Christians run into problems in trusting God, is in the midst of change. There are changes going on all around us, all of the time. Changes in our government, changes in our country, changes in our homes, changes in our families, changes in our jobs, changes in our lives. I mean, I could just keep going on and on. But here's the thing about change. Change can be very scary. Even more scary if you don't learn to transition through that change. Now remember, I explained to you all last week that there's a huge difference between change and transition. Now, more often than not, most of the time, we think of them as the same thing. But let me tell you, change is very different from transition. Change is external. Change is circumstantial. Change is situational. However, transition is internal. It's something that begins to take a work on the inside. And like I said, most people fear change, and often we are terrified of change, and that's because of this, we don't understand transition. Well, when you come to the book of Joshua, it is a book of changes and transitions, and you will find there in the book of Joshua that God is going to bring an external change into the lives of his people. There's going to be something huge that's going to come into the lives of his people. Most importantly, the one big change would be that Moses dies. And God is going to move his people from the wilderness into the promised land where the nation of Israel will be birthed. But this change in their lives, watch, here's the main thrust of this. But the change in their lives is to transition God's people spiritually. He's bringing changes, but he has a spiritual transition he's trying to accomplish. And so it is with you and I. God, and with all of his people, will bring change into our lives, so therefore that he could transition us into becoming more like him in his image. It's an ongoing thing. We call that big word sanctification. It's an ongoing transition. I'm constantly transitioning to be more like Christ. And God will allow change oftentimes to come into your life to move you towards those transitions. You know, I've had several conversations with some people about this and talking about this and writing this. And here's one of the things is this, is God will allow things to happen in your life that normally wouldn't happen in your life to get you to move in a direction that you normally wouldn't move. So God is working in his people, and we're going to see that. There's changes in transitioning taking place. We're going to start right at the beginning. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1.1. Transition requires change. You must have change in your life before you can have a transition in your life. And in order to have transition, there must be a termination of something. Something in you or around you has to change. It was this way and now it's not. Some of you can get that right today. You have your experiences. Some of you, it was this way yesterday, but today it's not that way anymore. Something has changed. Here's what I mean by that. In order to have something new start, something old has to be let go of. Something old has to die, per se. It has to be terminated. Now, let me tell you something. All of us are going through times of change. All of us are. Every single person in this room is going through some kind of current change right now. Every one of us is experiencing change. Understand, you're going to experience a lot of change this year. Just turn on the TV. I mean, you're going to experience a lot of change. You may be, in your personal life, you may be changing jobs. You may be changing houses. You may be changing your marital status. You may change in the fact that you lose someone who's very close to you. You know, God forbid that happen, but it does, right? Change, it happens all around us. And my desire in that is this. My desire is that God transitions me, that he moves me, transforms me. He does something in my life that makes me more like him because of those changes. How many want to be more like Christ? Yeah, if you're a Christian, that is your greatest desire. Now, you find transition all through the Word of God, and maybe the greatest transition you'll find in the Old Testament is between Moses and Joshua. Now, every Jew looks back to Moses. Everybody, I mean, Moses is kind of way up here. Everybody's looking at Moses, and they look back to who else? Abraham, right? That's another big one, right? So they look back. Yes, he's the father. Moses is the father of all the faithful. He's the first to be called a Hebrew, but they look back to Moses. Moses was the one who came to deliver God's people from Pharaoh. Moses was the one who stood face to face with Pharaoh and stood up against him. Moses was the one who called down the judgments, the plagues of God on the Egyptian people. We remember all those things. Moses was the one who led them out of Egypt and out of captivity. Moses was the one who stood there at the Red Sea, lifting up his staff, and the Red Sea parted, and he moved his people across the Red Sea. But what happened when they got on the other side? What did he do? He held the staff back up, didn't he? And what happened? He held the staff back up, the sea came back together and swallowed up all of that entire Egyptian army. All of that took place under Moses' leadership. How would you like to have that resume, huh? That'd be really cool, wouldn't it? That all took place under Moses' leadership. And now, look at what takes place. Look at how Joshua opens up. Look at this, verse 1. After the death of Moses, change. See it? Moses now is dead. But notice, I want you to notice this. For there to be a transition, there has to be a change. Something must be terminated. Something must be let go of. Now, I don't know what the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, but let me tell you something, and you need to get this. You need to get this in. If you want a transition in your life, you are going to have to look at something or somebody and just let it be dead. It may be a past relationship. I'm going to get personal because y'all going to identify somewhere in here. It may be a past relationship. You just let it need to be, you just need it to be dead. It may be bitterness. It may be anger about something. It may be a hurt. It may be an unforgiveness. It may be the way you have been treated. It may be a person. It may be pride. It may be arrogance. It may be a sin, and it may even be good. It could be something like money or power. It may even be yourself. So that you could be transitioned unto salvation. What's the one number one thing that gets in the way of a person's salvation? Self. It's not God, it's me. But before there can be a transition, there has to be change. There has to be a termination. You've got to let go of something. Now watch this, because I'm going to show you this in the Word of God. In fact, grammatically, the word is a transitional word. Look what it says. It come to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. That doesn't mean that he didn't have any sons, all right? And that means he didn't have a father. That doesn't mean that. Joshua, the son, that was a joke. Thank you. It came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, that's a transitional word right there. Grammatically, that's transitional. Therefore, because of this, now this. Because you've let go of Moses, he died. You got to let go of him. You've let go of the past. You've let go of whatever was back there. Whatever it is, now you can transition to what I have for you to do. I'm going to tell you something hard. Oftentimes, I have watched through a death that God does his greatest work that I have ever seen. Is it easy? No. Is it painful? Yes. But God has a greater work in these things. The old has passed away. Now something new has come. So what did God have for Joshua to do? Look what he says there. He says, arise, get up. Get up, Joshua. Get up, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Listen, I didn't have time to unpack this. I wished I would have, but there's a sermon right there. It says, go over this Jordan, you and all this people. I want you to notice something. God didn't call them his people. We know they are, but for whatever reason, he didn't say it there. Anyways, he says, you and all this people to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Now, that's just good stuff right there. And you look at me and think, what in the world's wrong with him? What's so good about that? Well, listen, you need to think about this in your own life. And think about this in the life of the church. There comes a moment when you've got to let go of some things in life before God can transition you to what he's calling you to do. How many in here in this place that are actively in ministry? Just raise your hand. Have you got to ever give up something to do the ministry? Almost every day, right? Listen, there comes a moment when you've got to let go of some things in life before God can transition you to what he's calling you to do, to what he's leading you to do. God is telling Joshua, look, Joshua, Moses is dead. Therefore, get up and go do what I'm telling you to do. It's almost as a command. Understand, now that's not always easy, but let me tell you, God is always good. Amen. I have discovered in my Christian life that God is good, down to the smallest and tiniest details of life. And so listen to what God does right here. He says, I want to give you some clarity about this. Watch this. He's going to give some clarity to Joshua. Take your Bibles, look with me. When God says, I want to get through these changes. I want to get through the transition. I want to get through the changes so that I can bring a, God said, so that I can bring a transition in your life, so that I can bring a transition in how you serve me, So let go of whatever it is, Joshua. Let go of this thing, Joshua. Arise, cross this Jordan. And he's going to come with some clarity. And he says, I'm going to tell you exactly what it is that you're going to do. Look at verse 4. He says, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. I'll give you just a side note on this for those who are end timers looking into eschatology and trying to find out. Let me show you something right here. Do you know that Israel currently is not occupying all the land that God said he's going to give them? Not even close. There are a lot, they're not occupying. They are just sitting on a part of it, just on a section of it. God gave them all of this that he just said, that I just read, all this area. So there's obviously a lot more to come. There's a lot more to happen. So God comes with clarity and he says, here's the boundary, Joshua. This is where I want you to go. And now I'm calling you to get up and make the transition. And when you do that, I'm going to give you some clarity about what I want you to do. How many times I've ever heard, I just don't know what God wants me to do. Well, this is, he's going to come now to Joshua. He's going to give him clarity. Understand, when you begin to move in obedience to God's transition, when God is moving you, when you begin to move in obedience to that, he will clarify what he wants you to do. There is nothing like vision and clarity and focus to bring new energy and new revival, to energize you, to inspire you. There is nothing like that when you know that you're moving in a direction that God wants you to be moving in. And God comes and he says, make the transition and I'll make it clear. So there was clarity there. But secondly, there was certainty there. There was certainty in the transition. Now watch this. The certainty is in verse 5. Verse 5, he says this, no man shall be able to stand before you. Now let me tell you what that means. It means men obviously will stand before you, Joshua. Men will oppose you. Men will come against you. Men will cause difficulty in this transition, in this move, in this call that I'm sending. There will be people who will come against you. And that's the reason, and he says, and that is the reason I said transition always involves a spiritual battle. If God's moving you and you are in obedience to God's call, Satan isn't going to stand by and say, I am so glad for you. Not going to happen. He's going to get in there. But he says, transition always involves a spiritual battle. Listen, whenever God begins to do a transitional work in your life, you can be sure you're going to face a spiritual battle. Because what is the rest of the book of Joshua going to be? A spiritual battle in the land. But now listen to what he says. Look what he says, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Makes you want to be Joshua, doesn't it? Makes you want to be him, right? Is he telling Joshua that he ain't ever going to have any problems? You think that's what he's telling Joshua? Joshua, look, you got it made, man. I'm on your side. I'm with you. I got you. I got your back. I've sent you. You're going. Don't worry. There is nobody that's ever going to give you a problem. You think that's what he's saying? Mm-mm. But he's given him certainty here. Just know this. In the midst of a spiritual battle, look at this. What he says. Look what's going to happen. As I was with Moses. God is saying, look, Joshua, I stood with Moses, and I now stand with you. He's saying, look back, Joshua. Just look back. Look back at how I was with Moses in this, and you understand, Joshua, in this same way, I will be with you. Do you know when you're saved? You're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? That is you as well. When God calls you, he says what? I will never leave you or... Now watch.
How many of you were here when Pastor Hayes retired?
How many of you were here when Pastor Hayes retired from here and we hired Joe Buchanan? How many of you were here?
We're getting few, aren't we? God says this. He says, I am the same God.
Understand, the same God who was here when Pastor Hayes started this church is the same God who was here when Joe Buchanan came. And let me let you in on something. I know that some of you may think he's abandoned you when I came, but let me tell you something. He's still here. The same God is here. The same God that was here in the beginning is the same God here now. And the same God that was with Moses and Joshua is here. He's at large and in charge. And that's what he's telling Joshua in our text right here. He is still the same God today, Joshua, that he was back then with Moses. That's what he's saying here. Now watch this. Go to the next thing. He says, I'm going to give you capability as well. In this transition, I'm going to give you capability. He comes and he says this, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. He says it three times. Now let me get your attention for a second. When God says it once, you should take notice. It ought to be enough. When God says it once, you should take notice. And when he says it twice, you really should get a hold of your attention. I mean, you should start buckling down. But when God says it three times, you ought to magnetize yourself to the text. So what is it that he's saying? Well, God says, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Now the word means firm. It means resolute, strong. It means firm. It means resolute. It means you are resolute. He says, I want my people to be a people who are resolute. I want you to be a people to be determined to do what I'm sending you to do. I want you to be determined that in your mind. I want a transition to take place in your mind. You are to determine about this command I'm giving you. You are there. You are firm. Nobody's going to talk me out of what God has called me to do. That's what he's saying right here. He said, Joshua, you are going through this time of transition, so you be resolute about it. You dig your heels in, and this is what I've called you to do. I'm making it clear to you, Joshua. I'm giving you the capacity to be resolute, to be firm, to be determined, to do what I have set before you. What's he saying? Trust me, Joshua. Trust me. If God is calling and moving you, trust him. Now I wonder how many of us have turned down God's yes because we were too busy listening to somebody's no. I want to tell you something. If I'd have done this right after I became your pastor, we would not be sitting in this sanctuary. How many of us has turned down God's yes because we were too busy listening to somebody's no? I've heard of an occasion when God went and called an entire church to do something, and all it took was one guy to stand up and say, I don't think we should do that. And the whole rest of the church had no resolve. They all then said, it can't be done, we give up. Why? Because one Yahoo stood up and said, I don't have the faith to go this direction. Well, because you lack faith, now watch. This is what resolve. This is what is determining what God has called you to do. Because you lack faith doesn't mean I'm not going to trust God. Amen? Well, that's what he tells Joshua. He says, be courageous. Courageous means bold. It means daring. It means to be brave. And that's what God is saying to Joshua. Do something bold. Do something daring. Trust me in this, Joshua. Let me ask you a question. Don't you just long to be a part of a church that just does something daring for the cause of Christ? I mean, really. I mean, John uses this all the time in talking about ministry. He says, I don't want, if you've been here on Wednesday, I don't want to keep God in the box. I don't want to keep God. I don't want to, I want out of the box. Don't you just, wouldn't you just love to be a church that takes on and goes after something daring for the cause of Christ? Something bold that makes this community stand up and say, what? You see them people over here? What in the world are they doing over there? What's going on over there? They're nuts. But that's exactly what God's saying right here. Remember, a lot of the people grumbled. They didn't think they should go. They didn't think they should go into the promised land. They was going to stay out there in the wilderness. Some of them wanted to go back to slavery in Egypt. I mean, but they were going to do something bold. And that's what God's saying here. He's saying, in times of transition, I'm going to give you clarity, and I'm going to give you certainty. And then he says, I'll give you capability. God says, I'll call you to do what you would never do on your own. This is huge, folks. God will most likely, as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, call you to do something that you can never do on your own. Why do you think that is? But that's Joshua's problem. I don't know if you can pick up that in this text or not, but that's Joshua's problem. Why was he so afraid? Why is God telling him all of this? Why is he giving him all of this? Be strong. Be courageous. Go. Get rid of the past. Look into the future. Move over here. Be strong. Be courageous. What? Because you know why? In fact, Moses back in Deuteronomy 31 twice tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Back in Deuteronomy, he tells Joshua this. And God tells him three times here in Joshua, be strong, courageous, be very strong, courageous. I have commanded you, be strong and be courageous. And you come to the last verse of the first chapter of Joshua, and all the heads of the tribes come together, and they look at Joshua, and what do they say? Just be strong and courageous, Joshua. So why did they do that? Why did they keep encouraging Joshua that way? Why do you think all these different people kept doing that with Joshua? Why do you think? Because Joshua was feeling very weak and very timid. This is big. Now, why was that? Why was he feeling weak? Why was he feeling timid? Well, let me tell you something. I understand this verse very well. Anybody that was on my ordination council will tell you I understand this verse very well. You want to know why? Because I have never felt adequate to do this that God has called me to do. What did I just tell you before I came up here? What did I say? I'm nervous. Which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But I've never felt adequate to do this that God has called me to. Yes, God has called me to it. But truthfully, this is an intimidating position. It's very intimidating. And I would have to guess that if I called on any of you into my office and sat you down this afternoon and asked you, do you feel adequate to do what God has called you to do? You would probably look at me and say, what? No. Not apart from Christ, I don't. But here is what I know to be true. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God makes the inadequate adequate. He will give you the capability to make the transition that he's calling you to. Now watch, that's the first point. I'll give you the other two points very quickly. Let me just take you now to the second point. The second point is this. Transition requires instruction. Transition requires instruction. That is this. There needs to be a word of instruction. Transition needs instruction, a new direction, a new plan, a new way. I have folded to you at the very beginning of the sermon last week what my vision was for this. What am I doing? I'm giving you some instruction on where I want to go. But I'm somewhere along the line, I'm going to have to teach you part of that along the way. So transition needs instruction when it comes to a new plan or a new way. Listen, I think that you would all agree that transition is always a time of confusion. It's always a time of frustration. It's always a time of anxiety. It's a time of upset. It's a time of befuddlement. But let me tell you something. The born-again believer in Jesus Christ never has to go through that confusion and transition because we have the Word of God. We have a blueprint from God Himself. We have the ultimate encouragement. In the back windows of our car, in the floor of our back seat, on the bottom of the end stand at home. That's where we keep our But God's saying, listen, I got instruction for you, where I'm sending you, where you're going to go. He says, look, I got some instruction for you. I got a blueprint. And that's what God comes and he tells Joshua, look at what he tells him beginning in verse 7. He says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now watch this, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now that's listen to me. You know what that is right there? That is an internalization of the Word of God. The internalization of the Word of God. You need an internalization of the Word of God to make it through the times of changes and transitions. Now you're looking at me and you're saying, what is that? What is the internalization of God's Word? That means I get it down in me. Transition, it's internal. I get the Word of God down in me. I hide it in my heart, meaning I know it by heart. Because in the Word of God, because I'm in the Word of God and I get the Word of God down in me, and that's why we encourage you and we encourage you and encourage you, get in a Bible study. Come to Bible study. Come to Sunday school. Get into Sunday school. Be in the Bible. Be in a personal Bible study in yourself with your family, with your children every day. Be in the Word. Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I, what? Might not sin against you. I memorized that when I was very, very young. Get it into you. And you say, well, what good is it? I'm going to use a different illustration, brother. My wife just went, phew. Y'all remember, it was about 1 year ago at this time that I had a massive heart attack in Miami, Florida, right? Y'all remember that, most of you. Well, although I don't remember much about it, while I was at the pastor's conference, something pretty incredible happened. Steve and Richie Davis was with me, and they were there. A friend of ours from Florida, we meet him every year down there. First thing we did, we walked into the church, and I was just a massive church now. It was like 12,000 people. And we find Sean, and we go to talk to Sean, and Sean's like, how you doing, man? I said, I'm doing good. He says, well, you look good. I said, well, thank you. And he says, you look good. He says, how you feel? I says, I feel good. He says, listen, you're not going to believe this. He says, but I know the surgeon that worked on you in Miami. I said, really? He said, yeah, his name's Orlando, Dr. Orlando something. And I said, oh, yeah, that's him. And he says, yeah, I know. He says, we were talking, and he says, you know, one day, he said, we got to talking. He says, and I was telling him about you and how you was on a cruise ship, and you had a heart attack, and they took you into Miami Memorial. And he says, are you talking about Larry Garrison? Left an impression on that guy. He says, you talking about Larry Garrison? He says, yeah. He says, I remember Larry. He says, I'll never forget him. I thought, wow, you know, I'm special. And he says, thank you. He said, yeah. He says, there was something incredible that never happened to me. And he's retired now. He says, he retired after he got me. he uh,
he says, I'll never forget Larry. He says, out of all my years, he says, when Larry came in, I was conscious, but I wasn't conscious. I don't remember anything about the heart attack. Nothing. I don't remember going to the hospital. And this is what he told Sean. He says, in the midst of me putting his stent in, he says, just getting ready to get done, pull out. He said, Larry started to witness to me. Started to tell me about Jesus and started quoting Bible verses. Let me ask you a question. I hate using myself, and I was going to use her. And I hate using myself. How do you think that was able to happen? What? It was hidden in my heart. I didn't even know. That's why you need to internalize God's word. Your aunt that you just, I thought, when he was saying that, that'd be a great illustration. His aunt that he just told us about. You need to internalize God's word so that in a moment of an emergency, it's in there. What's one of the things I told Brother Haas before he left? Hide it in your heart, brother. Hide it in your heart. Why? Because in an emergency, that's when it's going to come up. You see that? It's internalized. And there's the internalization of God's word. He says, meditate on it day and night. Now, I love that word there. And in time of need, meditate on it. In that time of need, it will come to you because you spent time meditating on it. Now, the word meditate, this is really cool, by the way. I was going to take this out, and I didn't. The word meditate, if you look it up in the Hebrew, literally means this. It's going to surprise you. To meditate in the Hebrew, in meaning in this text, it means to growl like a lion. Now you can imagine in the wild a lion got his prey and something comes by as he has that prey down there, right? And he lets out, they say that could be heard for miles. Well listen, we have something like that at our house. Donna has this cat who weighs about 8 pounds. And Beth Ann has this dog that weighs about 150 pounds. Seriously. And that cat will be eating its food. And if that dog gets anywhere near it, that cat will just begin to, it sounds demonic, honestly. That cat will begin. And that 150-pound dog will just back up. Right? That dog won't even go past that cat. True story. Every day. That's what the word meditate means there in our text. And now you're looking at me and saying, now how in the world does that mean, how does that mean meditate? Well, here, let me give it to you. When I get over the Word of God, when I get over the Word of God, I'm spiritually feeding. When I get over the Word of God, and I'm so intent on the Word of God and so hungry for the Word of God that I will growl at anything that tries to come between me and the Word. Zeke kind of referred to some of this when in his sermon about getting rid of the distractions during your prayer time. It's the same thing. You don't want it to disrupt your meditation. Okay? So whenever I'm in here, I become protective of that time that I'm in the Word of God. That's why you need every day a few moments in the Word of God and you growl at anything that comes and tries to take you away from the Word of God. Be careful if it's not your wife, okay? Meditate on it. Get it down in you, and then there is no, listen, because then there's no deviation in times of change or trouble with your walk with God. Look at verse 7. He says, here's the word of God. Verse 7, he says, here's the word of God. You do it. You do it, Joshua. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left. He says, you do it. Don't deviate from it, Joshua. You make it.
You do that and you'll make it through the transition of life. Why? Because you cling to the Word of God above all else. And what do we know about the Word of God? There's a lot of things going on in our world, isn't it? But let me tell you what the last thing that we'll be standing is. It ain't going to be man's word. It ain't going to be the government's word. It will be the Word of God. Amen? Very quickly, last thing, three. Transition requires action. Transition requires action. So how do I do that? Well, what does Nike say? Just do it. Just do it. And that's what God says to Joshua. He said, you just be careful to do according to the law. Verse 7, verse 8, he comes back and he says, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. How can I do it if I don't know it? For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now let me stop as a side note right here. Prosperous and success are not the same things that you're thinking that they mean right here. It's not, this is not prosperity preaching here. That's not what he means. This is not talking about money and power. This is talking about ministry and one's spiritual life. Let me tell you what it's truthfully talking about. It's talking about getting a deep understanding of God's word. Now, I don't have time to go into that and unpack it, but let me tell you something. If you want to make it through the changes in life, you better begin to transition through obedience to God's word. You better begin to transition through obedience to God and his word. And when you do that, oh, this is sweet. Here's the sweet part. I'm giving you the sweet part, all right? When you do that, God will walk with you wherever you go. What did I say when I read it? I said, man, I want to be Joshua. I am Joshua. So are you as a believer. Look what he says in verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now I'm going to read to you out of the 13th chapter of Hebrews, where the writer of this great epistle to the Hebrews comes in the last chapter, and what he's doing is this kind of this very machine gun kind of thing here. It's very repetition. He comes and he says, do this, do this, do this, make sure this, make sure this, make sure that, do that, do that, do this. He gives instruction to take action, in your transition. He comes and he says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Verse 2, don't forget to entertain strangers. Verse 3, remember the prisoners. Verse 4, marriage is honorable among all. Verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Do you see what he's saying here? Action. So how do I do all this? How do I transition my life to do all these things? Pastor, that's a whole lot. He's saying, listen, love the brethren. That needs to be number one. My first obligation as a believer in Jesus Christ is first to love God. But what's the shirt say? Love God, love? I'm to love you. That household of faith first, that needs to be number one. I need to be about loving and about the matters of the brethren. And he says, you need to show hospitality to strangers. That means you show kindness and gentleness. And he says this, you need to remember verse 3 to do ministry. Remember the prisoners. Don't abandon them. Minister to them. Encourage them. Give them a notice. Verse 4, let me tell you about marriage, he says. You're to honor marriage. It's to be held in honor. It's to be sacred. It is to be spiritual. It is to be protected. It is not to resemble the marriages of this world. Number 5, make sure your character is right. Make sure you take steps to align your life into the life of Christ. So how do I do all of that? How do I transition my life to do all these things that God has called me to do? He called Joshua to go do this, and he's calling you and I to do these things. Well, I got great news for you. You can do it. And so can I. I can do it because he quotes. See, look at the end of verse 5. He quotes Joshua 1:9.
where God says to Joshua, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So how can I do the things that God is calling me to do? How can I do these things? I can do it because every step of the way, God is with me. Every step, people, not just when you walk out in here, but when you walk out there. He's with you with that difficult relative. He's with you with that difficult neighbor. He's with you to be able to talk to people about Jesus Christ. There is no failure in talking to people about Jesus Christ. You say, I'm not good enough. No, but God is. He's good enough, and he's with you every step of the way. God is with me, and he's with you as we follow him. He instructs us. It's his word. Now remember, he's already said that back in verse 3. He's already said every step, every place your foot shall fall, I'm giving to you. What if we felt that way when we walked out of here in the causes of Christ? He's saying that every step along the way, Joshua, I'm with you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. That's how you can do it, and that's how I can do it still to this very day. I can walk with confidence. I can walk with clarity to whatever God is calling me to do. I can make the transition in my life to follow God wherever he leads me because of Christ who is in me. I can transition. And that's how you get up from where you are at this very moment and walk down this aisle and give to God whatever it is that is holding you back from following God in his will in your life. Whatever's holding you back to giving first yourself to him, but also whatever's holding you back from following him and serving him in your life. Listen, I don't have to convict you. God's already doing it. There's something that, you know, that's there. And you think this, and you think, I'm terrified of people. I'm scared to death. I don't want to do that. Then let me tell you this then. Let go of whatever you're holding on to and give it to God right now, right where you're at. Right now, God is speaking. Right now, whatever it is that's holding you back from following him, give it. Surrender it. Let go of it. Surrender it to God. So whether you walk down this aisle or where you sit right now, give it to God. Why? Because when you turn your heart to do that, that is the moment that he begins to walk with you every step of the way. That's why the Hebrews in chapter verse 6, now under inspiration, in Hebrews, he takes the verse out of Psalm 119, and he says this, that we can boldly say, be bold and courageous, right? Strong, firm. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Listen, many in this place need to let go of some things. Probably, most likely, primarily yourself. But you need to let some go, some things to follow God in a new way of life transition or in a new ministry for him to lead his people. I don't know what God's calling you to. What is it that you need to let go of to give to God so that he can use you and so that he can move you to a life of prosperity and success in accomplishing his will? Do you know what prosperity and success is? When my life lays down here and God takes my life from here, here's prosperity and success. And I'm knelt before my Savior when I come to meet him. Here's prosperity and success. Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have done what I've asked. Now I'm going to do what I promised. Wow. Isn't that amazing? How are you going to get through it? How am I going to get through it? changes. How am I going to get through it? Come to God. Listen, God is speaking to some of you right now, and God is wanting to move in your life, and you know it. He has put his finger on something in your life, and he says you need to let go of it and say goodbye to it so that you can move, so that he can move you to do his will. He says, I got something better for you to do. Now, he says that to us as a church as well, but let me tell you this. He is saying that to you personally and individually. Let go of it. Come to me. And I will give you clarity, I will give you certainty, and I will give you capability. You follow my word and be obedient to my word. You be obedient to my call. And I, God speaking, and I will promise you this. I will be with you every step of the way so that you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. Amen? Amen. So this morning I'm inviting you to come. And listen, the Lord is inviting you to come. Maybe you've never been saved. You can bow your heads and a praise band. You can go ahead and come on up. You may need to say today, you know what, Lord, I give my life to you. I want to turn loose of whatever it is I've been holding to. I give my life to you. I surrender my life to you. I die to self that I may have life in you. And I know that that life isn't possible apart from your redeeming acts for dying for my sin, that you rose from the grave so that you could offer me relationship and salvation with you. So I come today. I desire that. I want that. So I'm inviting you to come into my life, to transform my life, Lord. Some of you need to do that. Some of you need to let go of where you've been and what you've been doing and say, we are going to put our life in this church. We want to be members of this church. Well, listen, this is your invitation. You come to me and express that to me, and we'll begin that process of working with you. Amen? Lord Jesus, I pray in these moments, as you have spoken to us through your words so clearly, may we release whatever it is that we are holding on to, whatever it is that's hindering us to come to you. Father, just as I prayed earlier, that you would glorify yourself. May we go through the transition of being transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. And Father, that there would be that one who would come to know the truth of you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?